Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to bring you a message this morning from Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 13. And these truly are precious verses of Scripture. If you're in need of some good news, then I pray the Lord would open our hearts to this morning. The title of the message is, Go Learn What That Means. That's what our Lord commanded in this, and I pray He would reveal it to us, what He means and what He has to say here. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 says, And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples, publicans and sinners. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Why would He do that? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, what our Lord has said in this word, all through the word, from start to finish, what our Lord has to say in this word is the exact opposite of what you will hear in religion today. What our Lord has recorded in this word is truly the opposite of what men are standing up in pulpits telling people today. Men say all kinds of things. They come up with all kinds of things. But the only thing that matters, the only thing that will truly stand in the end, is what God has written in this word. Isn't that right? This morning, I want us to learn what He means by saying, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I want us to begin this by seeing something wonderful. Verse 10 says, right here in Matthew chapter 9, It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Why would He do that? All of these religious people, and you think about this, they were the Pharisees. They were the religious people, the ones who went to church. They were shocked by this, shocked by what He was doing. They said, We're doing everything we can do to separate ourselves from them. We're doing everything we can do to shun them. We're trying as hard as we can to not be seen with them. We don't want people to get the wrong impression. We don't want people to believe that we're with them. Look with me, if you would, at Luke 15. If you have your Bible, let's open these things together and look at our Lord's Word. Luke 15, verse 1 says, Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. They all came and gladly heard Him. They ran to Him. They loved coming to Him. And the Pharisees, the religious people, the Pharisees and scribes murmured. They didn't like it. They murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners. He receives them and eateth with them. He's not just tolerating them. He wants to be with them. He receives them and He eats with them. And it's not that our Lord was sitting there eating and there was an empty space and a sinner came up and said, Is this seat taken? And He, in His kindness, said, No, go ahead and take it. The table was full of sinners with one empty chair. And the Lord said, Is this seat taken? And the Pharisees took note of it. There were plenty of seats at their table, I'm sure. They were shunning everybody. And He chose not to eat with them. He chose to sit down with the sinners. And they recognized He wants to be with them. He chooses them. He welcomes them. He's their friend. He's their friend. You know why this is such good news to me? The reason is because I am a sinner. Is that a shocking thing to hear? I am a sinner. Our Lord knows what's going on inside this heart. Our Lord knows what's going on inside this mind. He sees all things. Whether we do it outwardly or not, God looks on the heart and He knows. And I know too. I am a sinner. And I'm pretty sure you are too. And so this is good news. This is wonderful news. If you are a sinner like I am, this is great news. Look with me, if you would, at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1 verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Now, what is the truth? Didn't our Lord say, I am the truth? And He's saying, if we say we don't have sin, we're lying to ourselves, and Christ is not in us. You ask a person, you just go up to anybody and generally ask a person, are you a sinner? The response I'm pretty sure you'll get is, no. No, I'm not a sinner. But our Lord said right here in 1 John 1, even in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. That's strong words, isn't it? We make God a liar, and His word is not in us. If I believe in my heart, if I truly do believe in my heart that I am not a sinner, I am screaming in the face of God, you're a liar. And that's horrible, isn't it? That's horrible. I'm proving to God by doing that, and I'm proving to myself, and I'm proving to everybody else that I don't know God. I don't know God, and I don't know His Word. Because our Lord is very clear about this in His Word. Now, I'm still a sinner. I just don't know it. And that's a terrible place to be. There's an old hymn writer named Joseph Hart, and he wrote, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. It is God's goodness, and it is God's mercy, and it is God's kindness that He would show a sinner what he truly is. That is God's goodness to a person, that He by His Spirit would reveal to that person, I truly am a sinner. I truly am. Much worse of a sinner than I ever dreamed I would be. There was a man years ago, and his first name was John, quite a few years ago, and he was a married man, and he had a regular life, and some things happened to him. There was an accident he was involved in, and he ended up in a wheelchair, and he ended up becoming a very bitter man, and he lost everything, lost his wife and his home, and he lost it all. He ended up in a wheelchair. He couldn't walk, and he had an apartment. He lived there by himself, and just a sad situation, very bitter man. And one Sunday morning, he turned on his TV, and it was back in the days when you had to walk up to the TV and turn it on, and the picture came on. And he said, when that picture came on, there was a man on his television with his finger pointed at him. And that man was preaching God's truth. He was preaching God's word. And the first thing he heard come out of that man's mouth is, there are a lot of differences between you and me. A lot of differences. Many, many differences. But he said, one thing is the same. You and I have one thing in common. He said, I'm a sinner and you're a sinner. We're both sinners against God. And John got mad and he turned his TV off and he said, "Don't you call me a sinner. I'm not a sinner. How dare you call me a sinner? Maybe a lot of things, but I'm not a sinner." And he was mad about it and he didn't want to hear it. And he sat there for a minute in his wheelchair and he started thinking about it. And he thought, well, maybe I am a sinner. And he turned it back on. And he heard the truth of God's word. And week after week, he started listening to the truth. And God revealed the truth to him. And God saved that man. God had mercy on him. That's the kindness of God to a sinner. That he would come to a man or come to a woman and reveal to him, "You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I truly am a sinner." Let me show you something in John 14. John chapter 14. This is our Lord speaking. And he said in verse 16, "I will pray the Father." I'll pray to the Father. "And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth," God's Holy Spirit. "I'll pray to the Father and he'll send you his Holy Spirit." That's the comforter. That's who our Lord is referring to. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." It has to be given to a man or a woman. But they can't naturally receive these things. He said, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So our Lord, in referring to the Comforter, is talking about his Spirit. And he said in chapter 16, John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," God's Holy Spirit, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove." And that word means convince. "Whoever I send him to, whoever he comes to, the first thing he will do is convince that person. When he is come, he will convince the world of sin." That's the first thing. Sin. "And of righteousness. And of judgment." That is the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of God to a sinner. It truly is. That he would convince that sinner that he is indeed a sinner. Man by nature does not know it. He has no idea. And it's not until God's kindness comes and through his word reveals to a sinner what he truly is, that he has any idea of it. And God comes through his Spirit and he reveals God's righteousness. First, he reveals man's sin. And then he reveals God's righteousness. He reveals what God demands to stand in his presence. Absolute, perfect righteousness. Rightness. No wrong. No error. No sin. "Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." I mean perfection. How good does a person have to be to stand in the presence of God? As good as God. That's how good. And God reveals that to a sinner through his word. Otherwise, a sinner would not know. And he would think, well, I'm going to go stand before God on my own merit, on my own works, everything I've done, and I'm sure he'll accept me, having no idea. You must be perfect. So God comes and he reveals, first, I'm a sinner. And then he reveals, second, this is what God demands to stand in his presence. Absolute righteousness. And the third thing it said he reveals is God's judgment for our sin. The fact that God truly will punish sin. Man naturally thinks he's going to sweep it under the rug. He'll just turn a blind eye to it. He'll just forget about it. God said that's not so. He will by no means clear the guilty. He must punish sin. So God kindly reveals that to men and women as He sees fit, as He chooses. And He opens their eyes to the truth. He brings them out of that blindness. He brings them out of that darkness. And He reveals the truth to them. Now, our Lord said, go learn what this means. That's what He said. Go learn what this means. And that is His Spirit coming to a person, whispering into the ear and into the heart of a sinner. This is what it means. God's Spirit comes and tells, this is what it means. Here is the truth. Here is the answer. Here is the secret. If you're turning with me, go back to our text in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, our Lord said in verse 10, it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? Why would He do that? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Those that believe in their own eyes that they are right with God. Those that believe that their own morality, their own good works, the way they live their life, they're trying to be a good person. Those that believe that living that way, everything that they're doing naturally makes them right with God, they have no true need for the gospel. They really don't. They don't have a need for His good news. They don't need a great physician. They're not sick. They're not sick with sin. They're not diseased by an absolutely loathsome disease called sin, not in their own eyes. And that is such a sad thing. That is such a sad thing. And I'll tell you why. It means God's Spirit has not come to that man or that woman. Isn't that what He said the first thing He would reveal is sin? And if a man does not see himself to be a sinner, it means God's Spirit hasn't come to him. The fact of the matter is, all have sinned. Isn't that what our Lord said? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if he does not see himself to be a sinner, that's a sad place to be. Only those that God has chosen to save and chosen to send His Spirit to will ever learn what this means. Verse 13 here in Matthew chapter 9 says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And when it comes to God's dealings with sinners, He said, I will not have sacrifice. I will not have sacrifice. A sacrifice is an offering for sin. Isn't that what a sacrifice is? A sacrifice is a payment for sin. And God said, I will not accept one from man. I will not. False preachers, men who stand up in pulpits every day, they lie to men and women by telling them this. If you want God to save you, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. If you want God to save you, you're going to have to give this up and you're going to have to give that up. You're going to have to start making sacrifices. If you want God to save you, you're going to have to start doing some things. You're going to have to start doing for God. If you want Him to save you, you're going to have to give. You're going to have to give your heart to Him. You're going to have to give your life to Him. But if you step up to the plate, if you make the great sacrifice, if you do it, then God will save you. Now, I'm here to tell you, I am here right now. This is why I'm here. I am here to tell you that that is a lie. That is a lie. That is not what God has written in His Word. I don't know why men stand up and tell other men and women that. I have no idea why. It's not in God's Word. If God wants our heart, God takes our heart. God said, I'm going to take that stony heart out of the ones I choose, and I'm going to put a heart of flesh in there, the heart of Christ. There's nothing we could offer Him. He's in need of nothing. Salvation is of the Lord. That's clear from His Word. So I don't know why men and women stand up and tell others this, but it is indeed a lie. It's not so. He will not have sacrifice. That's what He said. I will not have sacrifice. When it comes to the issue of the salvation of a soul, He will not accept anything that a man has to offer Him. People believe that they have something good in them that they're going to be able to offer to God, and God will be pleased with their offering. God said plainly what He will accept. Cain did not believe Him. Cain thought he had something that was a little better that he could offer God, and it did not go well for Cain. And there's nothing that man has done. There's nothing man has earned. There's nothing man has worked for that he can offer to God that will be acceptable to Him. Nothing. No sacrifice, not from man. Well, if he won't have sacrifice, then what will he have? Verse 13, he said, I will have mercy. I will have mercy. What does that mean? That means Christ made the only payment that God would accept. That's what it means. It means Christ made the one and only payment for sin, the one and only sacrifice for sin that God will accept. He will not accept our sacrifice because Christ has already made the sacrifice. And God is satisfied. He's appeased. He offered Himself to God for us. That was His sacrifice. He offered His own self. By the sacrifice of Himself, the Scripture says. He offered His blood. And that blood paid for every sin of every sinner that God chose to save. Every single one of them. And that's great news. There is sin on my record and there's sin on your record. But if God chose to show mercy to us through the blood of His Son, they're gone. They're paid for. Now, this verse right here tells us that He did not pay for the sin of the entire world. Our Lord did not just make a general payment for the sin of everybody. There are two types of people on this earth, the saved and the lost. Only two types of people, the saved and the lost. Now, who is who? Who is who? How can we tell who is who? I would love to know that, wouldn't you? Verse 13, he said, go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous. I'm not come to call the righteous. Now, according to a dictionary, you can look this up in a dictionary. Righteous means upright, virtuous, keeping the commandments of God, those who pride themselves in their virtues, those who see themselves as innocent, faultless, guiltless, those who see themselves approved of or acceptable to God. That's the righteous. That's amazing, isn't it? Is it not scary how much that resembles the average church-going person? Scary, isn't it? But he said, I did not come to call the righteous. Well, then who can be saved? Who then can be saved? If he didn't come to call the righteous, who did he come to call? He said in verse 13, Sinners. Sinners. The word sinners, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means those who are not free from sin. Those who are especially wicked. Those who are stained with certain definite vices or crimes. Guess what? That describes me. That describes me. I told you a moment ago, God looks on this heart. Just go into your mind. Go into your mind. You know what's in there. That describes me, and I am pretty sure that describes you. Are you a sinner? I am. Are you? The Apostle Paul said, I'm the chief. He didn't say, I was the chief. He said, I am the chief. Are you a sinner? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Those who have been ruined and wasted by the sickness of sin. Is that you? Is that you? Do you know, like I know, that we need a great physician? We need a great physician. Does that describe you? Then, if it does, go learn what this means. I want to learn it too. Let's learn what this means. He will have mercy and not sacrifice, because He came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Sinful old you, sinful old me. That's who He came to call. What has He called us to? If He came to call us, what has He called us to? Verse 13 says, repentance. Repentance is a change of mind about everything. It's a change of mind about God's sovereignty and God's holiness. It's a change of mind to realize God is God. God is God. What He will accept, what He will not accept, He's God. It's a change of mind about our own sinfulness. It's a change of mind about everything that Christ has accomplished and who He accomplished it for. He said, it is finished. That means finished. He's not waiting on us to finalize anything. It's finished. When God calls His own to Himself, that sinner learns what that means. When God does the work, the sinner learns. He understands what the entire Word of God is all about. God reveals to him it's all about Christ crucified. Every page, Old Testament, New Testament, all of it. Christ crucified for sinners. Oh, may God teach us what that means. May God truly teach that to us, and may we learn it. By His goodness, by His kindness, may He do a work on this heart right here. And may we truly, truly learn what these things mean. God have mercy on us, for Christ's sake. Till next week, I pray the Lord will bless His word to our hearts.
Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.